Acts chapter 16 and verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer. Now, perhaps you'll remember who the "we" is there. This appears to be Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke. So at least these four we know are together now here in Philippi. Philippi, of course, is a Greek or a Macedonian city, and this is in Europe. So these are the early days of the gospel arriving in Europe from that Middle Eastern area around Jerusalem and Turkey. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his word. Now, I had intended to pick up a little microphone here, and I neglected to do it, so apologize for that. I'm going to ask somebody to do me a favor as well. Maybe, I don't know, whether Susie at the back or one of you guys, if you've got your phone, can you just go on to the website and check that nobody who's chatting there is saying that they can't hear me? No. Everything's okay, is it? Because I plugged this microphone in, but I never got the opportunity to test it. And I'm hoping that it makes the sound less echoey and less tinny. But if anybody is making their way up here, it's not a long enough cable to lie on the ground, so just be careful or you'll drag me over the top of the pulpit. Not long after arriving in Philippi, having met Lydia and having had the blessing of seeing that lady converted, Paul and Silas met another lady. And what a poor creature she was. Just a girl. Maybe just a little girl. Maybe just no more than a child. And possessed of an evil spirit. Not only possessed by an evil spirit, that spirit which allowed her to divine the future and to soothsay, or to prophesy, to speak wise words, so-called, to the people that were willing to pay for her demonic skills. And she was a girl who was abused and a girl who was exploited by cruel masters. The fact that she had several masters suggests that her distress was particularly profitable to them. And we find that this girl follows Paul and his friends, and she's shouting out repeatedly. It seems morning after morning after morning, as the apostles went to prayer, this girl met them in the way, and she's crying out, she's shouting out, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Time after time after time. And it's interesting because here is a girl who is obviously distressed and possessed, obviously hurting and abused, and yet she has the insight to know the truth. And whether this was the demon within her crying out, like we sometimes see in the evidence of the demons interacting with the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that here now, suddenly, in Europe, in Philippi, was the gospel, where preachers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and even the very demons were starting to quake at the recognition and acknowledgement of this, or else the Holy Spirit speaking through this girl, and in some way acknowledging the fact that here was the gospel. Whatever the case might be, here is the truth being declared by this poor girl. Here she acknowledges God's preachers and ministers that they are bearing the truth as they carried that message into Philippi. The fact that she speaks about salvation speaks about the fact that she was aware that there was a difference between what they preached and what the Jews of the city, for example, might preach, or the heathen and the idolaters, or all the various religions that might be here. Here was salvation by the one true God. Salvation by grace and not by works. And we discover that the apostle is grieved by this young girl's actions and activity. And when the procedure continued for a long time, perhaps it was that he felt pity for the girl. Perhaps it was that he didn't want to be associated with his own ministry with the way in which this girl for the rest of the day was speaking her prophecies and her divination and making money for her employers. Whatever the case again might be, he turned to the girl and commanded the spirit to leave her, and it obeys. Showing that the prophet of the Lord to his apostles, that they would be able to cast out demons in his name, had been fulfilled. And we might imagine that the other apostles also were able to do the same thing. The girl seems, at least at that time, to have had some degree of peace. And I think that perhaps for the first time in years, she was able to sit quietly. And I do not know, I can't tell whether or not this means that the peace that she had was a spiritual peace in her heart as one who had discovered grace, or whether it was just that the evil spirit had been taken from her. But I would like to think that this is a testimony to the fact that the Holy Spirit had come and taken the place that the evil spirit had once possessed. And not only was she at ease in her body and her mind, but she was at ease and at peace in her spirit and in her soul. The masters were angry. They could see their source of income disappearing, and they arrested Paul and Silas and they took them to the magistrates. They accused them of being Jews. They accused them of bringing wrong doctrine, troublesome religion into their midst. They didn't mention the girl. You see, when we're opposed for the gospel, very often we don't know the real reasons as to why that opposition is taking place. It might be that what we see in the surface is exactly what the matter is, or it may be that there are other things going on underneath that we cannot see and we cannot discern. But the opposition comes against the gospel nevertheless. These were deceptive men. And the crowds were riled by them, excited by them. And without any due process, the apostles had their clothes torn from their backs and they were beaten with rods. And then they were put into prison. The Apostle Paul speaks a number of times. I think it's in Thessalonians he speaks about this time when he was in Philippi and he was treated so badly. He was beaten with rods. We're not told the number of beatings that he had, but that must have been an extremely painful and traumatic experience to have been whipped bareback with these sticks, with these rods. The jailer was charged to keep them safe, perhaps because there was an anticipation that there would be more punishment yet to come. And the two badly beaten men, Paul and Silas, were put into the inner prison. And they were placed there with stocks. Their feet were placed in stocks, so they were trapped and did not have any comfort there in the prison. We're going to think a little bit more about that on another occasion. But just to say this, by way of bringing our thoughts here to a conclusion, what a perilous introduction to their ministry in Macedonia. They had had a vision, they had had a dream, come over to Macedonia and help us. And they had had some reassurance and encouragement insofar as Lydia had been converted and shown them hospitality and shown them that brotherly love and fellowship. But also we discover that there was an opposition in the society. There was a bitterness in the hearts of individuals. And wherever the gospel is preached, we might expect there to be that opposition. What a trial for Silas and young Timothy and Luke. How might these men also think about where they were, what they were doing, so far away from their homes, as well as the Apostle Paul? We should expect trouble when the gospel comes with success. The devil will not lose his subjects easily. And he was angered as much as the masters were for the loss of this young girl out of his kingdom. But like the apostles, we are called to have faith, to trust, to speak, and to wait upon the good will of our God. Was that not the sentiments of Mr. Ryland's hymn here as we read it together? Our Lord knows, and he will protect his people, and not a shaft can hit. The shaft is the arrow. Not an arrow, not a shaft can hit until our God, our loving God, sees fit. Next week, we're going to see how the Lord overrules man's wickedness in a great way and uses even the hardships of the apostles here in order to accomplish his purpose and glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we pass through these experiences of the Acts of the Apostles, let us remember that the same pressures and powers that existed then exist today. There will be trouble in our lives, but the Lord God will preserve us and uphold his word. Amen.